if you think that sometimes leaders lack in long-term orientation and visioning, how do you build that skill? How do you get leaders to think in longer term or work with their visioning?
Welcome to Pyramid to Circles. This podcast is for the leaders and for the change makers who have the goal of evolving their company
towards more collective intelligence, more empowerment,
more self-organization, but asking themselves how to make this happen, where to start, and how to get inspiration from others. Welcome, everyone. I would like to continue our exploration on the topic that is the biggest challenge in the decades to come for us, leaders of organizations, change makers, change agents. This topic is the transition of organizations from a model in which they take and exhaust our natural resources towards a model that is regenerative, based on innovation, circular economy, and sustainability. We know it is hard to change. It is even harder when there are so many issues at stake, and that we have to take care of both the short term and the long term. Our environmental crisis challenges our own capacities to find answers and to set direction. So if we're not individually and collectively able to deal with these challenges, there are little chances that we will find solutions. So the question for us today is, how can we be as leaders and change makers? How can we find the inner capacities to navigate the extreme complexity that this transition requires? So today I would like to introduce a major initiative that is tackling this essential topic. This initiative is called the Inner Development Goals. It's a nonprofit. It's funded by a committee of scientists and experts, including the notorious Robert Keegan and from Harvard, Peter Senge and Otto Scharmer from MIT, and the Escaret Foundation in Sweden. I would like to just read quickly how they introduce themselves on their website. They relate themselves to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So in 2015, the UN Sustainable Development Goals gave us a comprehensive plan for a sustainable world by 2030. There is a vision of what needs to happen, but progress along this vision has so far been disappointing. We lack the inner capacity to deal with our increasingly complex environment and challenges. Fortunately, modern research shows that the inner abilities we now all need can be developed. This was the starting point of the Inner Development Goals initiative. So my guest today is Jan Artem Henriksen. He's the executive director of the IDGs, the Inner Development Goals. So Jan, welcome. Thank you for being with us. How are you today?
All good. Thanks for having me, Michael. Happy to be here.
So where are you as we speak? I'm always asking my guests because my guests are from all over Europe. So where are you as we speak now?
I'm in a very sunny Stockholm in Sweden this winter day.
Okay, so Jan, I introduce you very shortly, but you will complement me. You, beside being the leader of leading IDG, you're also one of the founders of a consultancy called Safe Leaders in the Nordics. You're also a faculty member of at Stockholm School of Economics Executive Education, and you're a board member of Xcaret Foundation. Anything you want to add to that?
No, it's actually recently we've been working with the Harvard Human Flourishing Program, and they just appointed me as a senior fellow, which is a great honor to work with scientists and researchers from all over the world to see how we can create more flourishing human beings and planets. So that's the maybe latest addition, but yes, that's so far.
Maybe I'm curious, so we understand you and we know you. What has been your, if you said in a few sentences, what has been your driver as an academic and as a consultant in your career? What has been your driving interest and that maybe led you to also take the role of lead in the IDG today? Just in a couple, so we understand, we sense a bit who you are.
No, but to be honest, leadership development or capacity building is very, very personal to me. I grew up in Ukraine. And many of the tensions in the war that we see today playing out, I've been growing up with those tensions and differences in worldviews and in values. And for me, it's been fascinating how different family members, how some could handle that and navigate the differences within family and still have adult conversations and try to reflect and talk about the issues we have, and how others have become very angry or not been able to stay in the relationship, even with your siblings or fathers or mothers, and had cut the relationship. And it's been very painful to see it and grow up in it. And the question is, of course, has been, how could we help people navigate a complexity and different values and different worldviews? So it's always been an interest. both when I've been teaching at Stockholm School of Economics, but mostly I've been working as a consultant and putting more than 70,000 leaders through different leadership development programs. But also there, seeing that some people care about leadership development and capacity building and others don't, which I think is a great problem and existential risk, actually, because if we are to handle the bigger challenges we have, we need to see how our internal is intertwined with the external, how our ways of handling the problems is sometimes actually creating the problems, as Erik Fahrenholm, my dear friend and initiator of the IDGs, usually say also.
I think we already are at the heart of what is IDG. The way we handle the problem is sometimes part of the problem or the source of the problem, as you just say. Maybe that's a good transition to maybe I quickly laid it out, but maybe explain us what the big idea of IDG is, where it comes from. What is it exactly?
Yeah, so the Inner Development Goals is a non-for-profit and open source initiative, or almost like a think tank, that tries to answer the one big question. And it's it took us actually months, together with some of the thought leaders you mentioned, but also later on Amy Edmondson, Dan Siegel, and around 1,000 people have been engaged in the process. And as I said, it took us months to formulate the question, that is, what capabilities, qualities, or skills do you believe are essential to develop individually and collectively in order to get us significantly closer to fulfilling the Sustainable Development Goals? I mean, in more simple language, we're saying, what skills do we need to grow, both as individuals and organizations, to handle really, really complex problems? And we had more than 1,000 responses. We have two scientists that has been independently coding it. And what we have done is we've created a map, more or less, of five dimensions of human development, that is, that covers being, thinking, relating, collaborating, and acting. And in the first iteration, we found 23 skills that can be grown and developed. I mean, everything from presence to complexity awareness to empathy and compassion or co-creation skills that we know that we can develop if we work on that. It's soft skills. It's not like intelligence that is very hard to influence. And we've been looking on how can we build these skills at large scale. So our target groups are big organizations and governments. So we're working with organizations like IKEA, like Google, like Ericsson, Novartis, Spotify, Egon Zander, and many, many others. And we're working with governments where the Costa Rica is actually the first government in the world to adopt the Inner Development Goals.
Wow.
Just like they are progressing with the SDGs, they're first out to integrate that into all of their public sector. And we have six more countries that are interested and are taking part in a program that we're doing together with Costa Rica and their ministry, Midplan, in charge of the Sustainable Development Goals.
Wow. So to give an example, concretely, what does it mean when Costa Rica is adopting the Inner Development Goals? What concretely, are you offering a training program to the state employees, or how does it translate concretely in action?
Yeah, so again, the IDGs has co-creation at its heart, and this is a science communication project. So we're taking skills and knowledge that is already out there. We know that meditation and mindfulness works and help people be more present with their pain or better handle stress or be calm when complex decisions need to be made. We know that we can build compassion and empathy by different ways of working with leaders and get them to be better leaders. What the IDG does is package it in a way that it makes sense and is understandable for many people. So I want to start here before I answer your question.
Yeah.
Just to understand, I mean, of course, the SDGs, we all know that the world does not consist of 17 boxes with different colors, but it's a way to make sense of the very complex systems out there and to get people to engage more with these very abstract problems and there to work with the different targets and methods, right? To work for a better life below water, or partnership for the goals globally, or gender equality, or equality education, or poverty, or whatever. And the IDGs is the same. We have even the same designer working pro bono for us from the new division who did the communication language for the SDGs. They are the second co-founder. And then it's an app called 29K that is also a non-for-profit foundation trying to scale personal development. And the designer that created the language for the SDGs is working on the IDGs and creating the 23 icons to simplify inner development, to get more people to care about it. Because today, my guesstimate is maybe that there is 2 or 3% of the leaders globally who care about inner development and see the value of working with themselves and with culture fully on, like intrinsically, not because it's pushed by HR or somebody else, but really see the value. And if we simplify human development, that is also very, very complex. But if we simplify it into what we have here seen in the first iteration, 5 dimensions, 23 skills, and this will be updated as we go along and get more voices into this. If we simplify it, we can get more people to care about inner development and to dare to work with it. And through that, make changes progress towards the sustainable development goals. So if we look at Costa Rica as a country, you know, it's not too different to say, what does it mean for IKEA to implement or integrate the IDGs? There are 300,000 people, you know, some companies are bigger than smaller countries in the world. And Costa Rica is not huge. Of course, it's bigger than IKEA, but
yeah.
So here, I think all of us who are working with big system change, who has been working with cultural transformation and leadership development, we know it's a huge task. And there is not one answer. This is the way you do it. This is the way you work with integrating leadership principles and values. So what we're doing is we're trying to be like a platform where different organizations can share some of their best practices. Okay. And we're doing the same thing with the governments. When we're working with the 6 countries, we have a very mixed group of different stakeholders that, of course, they are learning about the IDG framework as itself. How can we understand human development? We're doing some of the practices there on the being, thinking, relating, collaborating. I mean, you mentioned Robert Keegan. Of course, we will be doing the immunity to change process that is very powerful in helping people think more complexly around themselves and the changes they want to make and why they are sometimes stuck or immune to the change they want to make. But it's also about getting people to talk, to collaborate, to understand different dimensions of human development, connect it to the SDGs, and work together on it. So it's a very co-creational project and initiative. Okay. And sorry to disappoint you, but the simple answer is we don't have like one way of doing it.
It's like you're giving a frame or you're giving a map, and then you're creating you say, hey, we have done research, this is the map. If we develop and we grow in those skills, probably we will be better equipped to address the sustainable development goals. We will be more equipped to deal with the complexity of our times and find solutions for the future. But the way to do it, the content, the process, the training process, or the development process for each of you, well, you have to find your own way. And maybe what you can do is of creating a space of conversation, a space of collaboration where you can discuss how you do it. That's what you'll do.
Exactly. And of course, we invite different experts, like Peter Senge is now doing a course on compassionate system change and training. And of course, we can offer perspectives. But then it's also when we work with the inner, it's so important that each leader chooses what practices, what skills he or she wants to work on. Because like that's where you find the agency, the motivation fully. It's also like looking on the research of inner development. It's really important that people can choose it and choose what they want to work on, because that's where you get the best results.
Okay. So you were mentioning IKEA. That's interesting. How do they translate those skills? I imagine they have developed their own training program that was the IKEA program, but in which they will integrate those skills, or how do they work with the IDGs?
Yeah, so
if it's not confidential.
No. I think that they just told about this months ago. We have learning circles for all our corporate partners. And of course, I want to welcome all the listeners, if you're in an organization, especially a bigger organization, to check it out and see if you want to join and learn together from the companies that we are already working with. And IKEA said, it's interesting. The first thing they said is like the IDGs brings a narrative shift. They say the biggest value is the narrative shift towards more hope and action. Because we've been a little bit stuck, I think, also in like looking at the external, and not all people at a company or IKEA or so can work with lowering the emissions or sustainability straight on. But if you understand that if you increase in a skill like complexity awareness or empathy, you will influence the people around you. We know that from science. And actually, if you build the skills, you are affecting people in a positive way around you, and you're affecting the culture. And this is the skills and the capabilities we need to have to solve the complexity around us. So what IKEA is doing, I don't think they have changed their leadership programs, but they have just said that, look, now we found the IDGs. We have our own values, of course, very strong. We have our own leadership principles, but the IDGs is the learning outcomes for our leadership program. And they've done a leadership program where they made sense of what they experienced in the leadership program with the IDGs.
Okay.
And here it's a huge difference, especially for their youth also, who get much more engaged and wanting to work with the program, and the HR initiatives get much higher on the agenda when they have a bigger why that cares about the whole planet.
Excellent. So you mentioned circles or corporate circles or that actually discuss and share their experiment or the experiences around it. If I'm listening to this podcast, I'm interested, I want to join with my company. How can I do that?
From our part, we believe that when it comes to human development, it's a win-win if we share. It's not where you want to compete, because leaders move, and especially between the progressive companies, like people stay for 3-5 years and then they change. And if you get a leader during that 3 or 5 year that builds some of the IDG skills, it's really a win-win for everybody. And also, organizations have nailed different skills. Like Spotify is really strong on inclusion and openness, like openness and learning mindset. They are amazing. They're doing so good things there. And they could, of course, present and say, this is how we work with the growth mindset. You know, this is how we've been, our learnings from that we have done. Google is doing the next learning circle, and they'll be presenting on some collaborating practices and how can you get people to collaborate, and some things that they have really learned and are doing well, and so on. So, I mean, for regular individuals, we have monthly IDG gatherings where we try to learn and teach some skills. So you can just join that from the web. Okay. And for the corporates, you can join the circle and learn from the other companies.
Okay, excellent. Okay, that's great. So that could be your next step for audience. I just wanted to come back on the five skills that being, thinking, relating, collaborating, and acting. Well, these are keywords, but there's a lot of content behind each of those words. You mentioned research, and I think that's very interesting because I think that's also very specific of I would say of Sweden. In my worldview, the consulting in Sweden, the field of consulting is compared to, I would say, what we do in other Western countries, maybe in France or maybe in Belgium, maybe in Germany, we are a bit more experience-based, a bit less research-based. And so I think it's important in terms of your values and the way you've been working. Can you say a few words about why those skills, how they come from, they're just coming from a hat, or behind those skills, there is research. Can you say a few words about it, how you came up with this model in terms of the research that has been made? I'm very interested to just get a sense of it.
Yeah, so again, I started with this one big question: what skills do we need to build to increase our chances of reaching the SDGs? This was a survey that we did, and we tried to reach out to the wisest researchers and leaders, heads of sustainability or HR in big organizations, to see from different perspectives what skills do they see are lacking or are needed. And the second question was like, okay, if you think that sometimes leaders lack in long-term orientation and visioning, how do you build that skill? How do you get leaders to think in longer term or work with their visioning? So we had first 1,000 and then another 4,000. So in total, more than 5,000 people engaged in answering these questions. And some, of course, answer from a research perspective. They're researchers, they're experts in one or several of these skills or dimensions. Five dimensions, 23 skills. And they say, look, I've been dedicating my life to, you know, like bubble hopping. It's a practice to build empathy and compassion and humility and get people to see outside of their bubble and work with the different perspectives, like Emma Stenström does at Stockholm School of Economics. She works a lot with Otto Scharmer.
Yeah.
And basically, she's releasing a book this week about that practice and how you can, with very simple interventions, really build that capacity in a very polarized world. And of course, she comes from the research perspective. But then you could also have a very senior like Selina Harris-Milstrom, who's been part of this initiative from the beginning. She's the vice president at Ericsson, head of engagement. And she says, you know, what I see at Ericsson, what our engineers need, is they need to actually learn empathy and compassion.
Mm.
We have launched something we called empathic leadership, and we're trying to build more empathy and compassion in the engineers. And of course, that's from two very different perspectives, right? Selina is coming from a very corporate head of talent and engagement perspective, and Emma is coming from a method perspective, but they both point towards the same skill. And again, as I said, we had two independent researchers, Maria Booth and Thomas Jourdan, in the first phase, who coded all the answers. And then the dimensions, actually, the five dimensions, are not scientifically proven or so. As I say, this is a research communication project. We're trying to make things manageable to understand and easier to engage with. And we found that these five buckets, these five dimensions, is a good way of to make sense of human development.
Yeah.
And this we did with a group of very skilled communicators, as I said, those who created the Sustainable Development Goals framework, helped us create both the symbols, the dimensions, and of course also languaging, making sure that how we describe the skills, because sometimes the scientists came up with suggestions that we said, okay, it makes sense in science, but like, what does this mean? You know, it's too difficult, just too much of a language that you need to have a scientific background to get. How can we make this simpler and so on?
It has to be actionable and easy to understand and in a way practical or close enough to people so they can use them.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm curious in all those skills, and I invite people to go on the website, which is innerdevelopmentgoals.org. I will put this on the presentation of the podcast for sure. But I just wanted to ask you, among those skills, and maybe so each of the five areas are skills in them. And what is the most challenging, the most maybe controversial or new? Because some elements are maybe less new than others, I would say. Or I don't know if it's fair to say that, if you may disagree. But some may be more challenging, more controversial, more new, in a sense, for organizations, for instance. What would you say is the edge, on the edge in terms of skills, leadership skills, that we wouldn't say before, wouldn't call them leadership skills before, that now we need to acknowledge they are leadership skills, for instance?
I think it's very different in different culture, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, took France and Sweden as an example. I think it's beautiful. One of my relationships was with a French woman for many years. And, you know, like, in France, like if you don't disagree or have a good conflict at the dinner table, the dinner is wasted. You know, like you need to really disagree on things. Like, and France, together with Israel and Russia, are some of the most confrontative cultures. Like, where you really like to debate, to disagree, and also immerse conflict, not to avoid it. Mm. So maybe in France, you know, humility can be more like, okay, like, that's more challenging maybe, and even edgy. In Sweden, humility is not a very edgy skill. You know, we are some of the most quiet, humble people in the world in general. It's very feminine culture, the most feminine. If you use Gerthofstadt as like feminine, masculine, it's very problematic terms, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very conflict avoiding. We're almost like some of the Asian cultures, you know, like we really try to talk about when we agree, and when we don't, when we disagree, we become quiet. So in Sweden, maybe like courage is more edgy skill to like really speak up and make your voice heard when you disagree and so on. And this will be in very many different cultures, you know, like depending on where in the world you come from. What I do think in general, a skill that I would like to lift up, we have a meaning-making crisis in the world. The world is becoming more and more polarized. And I think the skill of sense making, of actually structuring the unknown and to consciously create sense and stories, you know, is one of the most important skills that we can build. Because if you think about, we are very, very averse to the unknown. We don't like to not know. So, I mean, when COVID came out, everybody were very confused in the beginning, but very soon people got quite strong into one of the camps. And of course, the camp for saying that we need to vaccinate most of the people in the world became the strongest. And then there was a small group of people who, for different reasons, were skeptical for to this.
Yeah.
But both became very, very sure about this. And there were very few people who could try to make sense in a complex way and be in the unknown still. And this we see around everything. You see this very much around politics in polarization. You see this even in the war in Ukraine and with like Russia and what has happened. It's really, really hard to keep some kind of complexity awareness and sense making, because we want so much to create strong stories where we are also the morally superior, you know, where our story puts us where we are the good ones. And it's really, really hard. I think it's really difficult, and it's also really dangerous where we, if we listen to Daniel Schmachtenberger on existential risks, this is one of the biggest risks, together with social media, that we have in humanity, that we lose our ability to make sense in holistic ways.
Thank you for bringing this. I think it's very accurate, and it's very new in a sense, meaning making and understanding the story we're in. It's both seeing the water we're swimming in, what is the context we're in that we may be blind to when we, and at the same time creating a new one that is more adapted, that is caring, that is leading us in a better place. So understanding what unconsciously has been driving us and consciously creating a new story is a way to create a new context that will be more adapted to the outcome we want to create. I don't know. That's my reformulation of what you just said. I don't know if it's correct.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a couple of last questions. You know, I'm co-founder of Fabric. We're a consultancy, and our field of interest is teams. We believe very much that developing people and the growth of individuals is necessary for change, but also the teams or collective are like another level of complexity, are as an individual have their own, you know, personality, their own maturity, and that we need to, that's therefore we focus a lot on teams and want to, you know, grow teams so their team as an individual, the collective individual, if I can say so, is more developed and able to deal with complexity. So it's not just as an individual, but as a collective, we are able to deal with complexity. We see this as a challenge. I don't know if this is, I know there are, one of the skills is called collaborating. I'm very curious on maybe to zoom on this one and to understand how you do you work with teams, like as a team, how a team can demonstrate collectively those skills. And do you have any research or experiment around that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, one of our thought leaders, her name is Amy Edmondson. She is ranked number one as a speaker on leadership. She has coined the construct of psychological safety with the Google study, as you might know,
okay.
Basically,
yes,
where she,
sure,
where she proved that, for those who don't know, that Google has, before her research, recruited a lot on IQ tests and on people who have been had the best grades at top universities. And then they ran a big study within Google where they looked at which teams do perform best. And they were shocked and went into somewhat of an existential crisis in HR department, because they realized that the way they have been recruiting has been all wrong, because the best teams were not with the people with highest IQ or the people with the best schools or credentials. It was the teams where there was a lot of psychological safety, where people had a lot of trust. They could create the most innovative, the best solutions, and really perform the best within Google. So Google had to rethink their recruitment and how they work with culture after Amy Edmondson's study. And Amy has written a book called The Fearless Organization. That is amazing. I recommend it to everybody to read. And there are some simple practices on how you can create trust by checking in before you start the meeting, by leaders being vulnerable and speaking about some of the mistakes that they have done so others can also speak about their mistakes. One of the skills in the collaborating dimension is an inclusive mindset and intercultural competence. Now that I'm speaking about Sweden and France, you know, it's very different ways how people make decisions and how they include others, depending on the culture you come from. And to have some knowledge on how different cultures can work and how can you include people better. There is so much variety in values, in worldviews. And here it's really, really clear that people who are good with inclusiveness are also strong in their being. So it's not on, like, if you want collaborating, you need to start in the being, some of the research says. You need to start in understanding your own values, your own biases. You need to be quite self-aware and have an openness and learning mindset to really be able to work with trust, co-creation, and inclusive mindset, if you can see the connections. And of course, there are many, like, all the skills are intertwined, they're complex. Exactly. Yeah. So you will see this everywhere. It's also very interesting because, you know, sometimes human development has this hippie-ish reputation, like, okay, human development, so what, we're going to sit and meditate? Like, no, there are 23 skills, like presence, that is maybe one of the main characteristics of meditations, like together with self-awareness, is just two of 23. There are so many other ways in which you can work in building your own skills so that you can collaborate and perform better.
I like when you say all this is intertwined, because indeed, if you deepen your own relationship to yourself, to the self, it anchors you in a capacity to collaborate with others, and in your, and the presence you can give to yourself gives you a presence for the others, and maybe builds this psychological safety you were speaking about, and et cetera, et cetera. So I do appreciate that a lot, this interconnection of all those skills. So the inner, the personal, the human development is just, you know, separated silos. It's all intertwined, and we are one, and we grow, as we grow in one dimension, we also grow in others. And great. So maybe a couple of words on the summit that you're organizing, a big event in October. Maybe you want to, I don't know if you want to advertise it, but maybe we can say a couple of words about what's going to happen. And it's also a way to engage, I guess, with you. I personally have put it in my calendar, so I hopefully will be there. And I'm together with a group of people from Fabric and other colleagues from other consultancies, we're planning to come. But maybe can you say a few words about it?
Yeah, sure. We had our first Inner Development Goals Summit last year. We rented the concert hall. This is where the Nobel Prize is being handed out. And we managed to gather most of the people I mentioned today and many of the world leading researchers who all came to contribute pro bono. We would never could afford to put them on the same stage together. Even Google told us, like, we could never put Bob Keegan, Amy Edmondson, Mikael Dalen, Jennifer Garvey Berger, Neil Ertzman on the same stage, because they all charge $100,000 per session to show up and do something, you know, and not even a company like Google can hire 15 or 20 of them for a day. And they are not charging us because they believe in that this is needed for us to reach the sustainable development goals. So this next summit, we will have 3 days. The first day will be more inspirational, like TED Talks, artists, music, very full on, where you will learn from different speakers around human development and how we can create more sustainability in the world and work with SDGs. The second day, we will have around 7 different stages, beautiful places around Stockholm, like the Fotografiska Museum, which is ranked number 2 in Sweden as the best places to see, where we'll have an ocean view, we'll have a lot of art, and we will have people like Dan Siegel doing a deep dive on maybe the healthy mind platter. How do you work to create an integrated and neurologically healthy brain and healthy organization? And he's one of the top scientists in the world on neuropsychology. And then, of course, you could go and maybe do an immunity to change with Bob Keegan, or learn from René Lertzmann how you can turn climate anxiety into action for 2 or 3 hours the second day, you know, when you choose, of course, a few of them to go for deep dives. And then there will be a iconic party at Burns, which is a place that is very famous in Sweden, been there for hundreds of years. Where we will have music, we will have artists. One of our slogans is, just because this is important, it doesn't have to be boring. And some of the governments really struggle with that, you know, and some of the academics also struggle.
Yes.
But we're really trying to make it an experience. And the last day is like a decompression. There's no agenda. There is a few venues where you just meet up, you connect with people, you talk with other partners, you learn from each other. Okay. You can join digitally. We're expecting maybe 10,000 people this time. And you can, of course, join us in Stockholm. So it's all on the webpage.
Excellent. So it's 11-12 October 2023 in Stockholm. Okay, excellent. Okay, thank you, Jan, for introducing the IDG. Maybe end this, I would like to ask you a very last thing, which is maybe from your heart, speaking to our audience. And, you know, I like to ask my guests what they would like to speak. They could speak directly to the audience, and I cut my mic and my headset. So it's you and the audience alone in distance of time and place. What would you like to say to these people who are actually today in a place where they maybe feel the need to change our organizations and our society to meet those sustainability goals, and at the same time don't really know how to do it and how to contribute? And they feel that maybe what they have in their hands is so small in comparison to the size of the challenge, and they are at the same time engaged for it, and they want to go for the next step, and they need a bit of guidance and experiences from others and so on and so forth. So what is your advice, or what you would like to, from your heart, like tell them? Are you okay with that?
Yeah, of course. Okay. I'm feeling into my heart here. So thanks for that chance. I think what scares me the most is that some of the best people I know and the most sensitive people for the environment, for the ecosystem, are sometimes withdrawing and isolating themselves. This is the danger of human development. Like, once you become in touch with yourself, you can become more sensitive. And sometimes people then withdraw. And I think it's very dangerous, because both for ourselves, actually, and our well-being, because we do need a sense of community, but also I believe we're in a very critical point in history where societies can either level up and become more holistic, more caring, more functional, or they can break down and become more polarized. There can be more conflict and more trouble in many ways. And I do think that those people who have already done some inner work, and yes, it is painful, and I've felt that and that hesitation myself. This is why I'm speaking about this from my heart. It is painful to be in a system that is somewhat dysfunctional, or societies that are dysfunctional, and work with bettering those systems when you have this awareness or sensibility. But I also think that it's vital that we really do it these coming 5-10 years. It's never been more important. And I do think that, like somebody said, like the next Buddha is a Sangha. That it's not about our individual journeys, it's about our journeys together. The biggest myth is that human development is something we do by our own. And this is what Peter Senge says, very much science, and his perspective shows that we grow together. And that's when we are at our best, both for ourselves and for each other in our communities. So I guess my last reflection is, I mean, we have around 120 hubs emerging around the world. If you are interested in this topic, join a hub. If there isn't a hub, create a hub where you are, because there will be other people joining you and reflecting. And come and see us digitally, or come in person to Stockholm. And also, a big ask is, help us to reach out. We are doing the biggest survey ever. We want to reach 100,000 people this spring, and we're releasing it this spring, and we will be working with it for a year, that survey. And we want to reach all countries in the world, is our vision, with 100,000 respondents. So we need to reach a few million people. If you have connections in other countries, especially outside of Europe, but also in Europe, if you know people who are wise, who know things and can contribute, we need to address some of the biases from the first surveys, to get more voices from Asia, from Global South. Help us answer the one question survey that will be the same as the question I mentioned before, and get involved. I think you will feel the difference, maybe for yourself. Yes, you will feel some pain, but according to Bob Keegan, pain plus reflection equals development. So I think I'll end with that beautiful formula, that if we want to grow, we can't avoid the pain, but we can't just be in pain. We also need to reflect, and we do that best together with others. So this is how we drive development for ourselves and for the planet. Thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot, Jan, for this and for those words of inspiration. We hear your call. I really hope and invite our audience to reach out and to support this initiative. I really have been looking forward to having you and IGG on this podcast, because for me, it's really meaningful. It's a really meaningful initiative to try to understand and map out how we need to grow and help us focus and clarify the areas of our own development to be able to deal with this, with the complexity of our times and the big challenges that are all ahead of us, change makers, leaders, etc. So thank you, Jan. Thank you. Thanks a lot for your time, for joining. And for our audience, I hope this interview, this program today brought you new ideas and inspiration. And well, stay tuned for our next episode. Bye.
Thank you, Michael, for doing this and for bringing your gifts to the world.
Yes. All right. Bye.